As Rosemary clearly helped us this morning, explaining the importance of God within our relationship, we need now to bring that relationship with God also into this session. And the session title is called Linking Hands, and in that we'll be discussing friendship. Our relationship with God through Lord Jesus Christ cannot be emphasised enough throughout this topic. And as we look at a Bible story together, we will see the three stages of friendship. First, we have the linking of hands, which would be the greeting stage of our friendship. Then we have the linked hands, which would be the commitment that's required in your friendship. And then we have the releasing of that link, which can be the farewell stage of our friendship. And we need a pattern for our friendship as we obey God's word and we listen to what he's saying through that. And his love will be made complete in us. We will experience a greater fellowship with God. Therefore, our relationships with our friends will grow and Christ will be reflected in our friendships. One of our goals in our friendship would be to reflect Christ. The beautiful portrait of Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist, and Mary, mother of the Lord Jesus, is a beautiful portrait of this friendship. And if you'd like to turn, if you've got your Bibles, we might turn to Luke chapter 1, and we'll just briefly read the story that, if you were like me, you have read these words many times, yet when you see them in a different light, it's an interesting little story. So Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the time of King Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well on in years. Then down to verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled, but was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." Then over in verse 24 we read that Elizabeth did become pregnant and she remained in seclusion for 5 months. Then down verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to marry to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus." Down to verse 36. "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a baby." This is the angel speaking. "In her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear, and the mother of... But why am I so favoured that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And the last verse, 56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and returned home. So So before we have the first stage of our friendship, which is the linking stage, there's a lot happening in our lives before we actually greet a friend or a friend comes into your passes you by. That is, the Holy Spirit is working within your life. And as Christians, we have that privilege of the Comforter within, and that is the Holy Spirit. And when we're in tune with God, the Holy Spirit can be at work. And we must acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is at work, and we must be led by the Holy Spirit within our friendships. God knew Mary and Elizabeth's needs better than they did themselves. God made certain that Mary knew about Elizabeth. We read that the angel specifically told Mary that even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. The angel didn't say a cousin, but said cousin Elizabeth, and also gave the stage in which the pregnancy was at. I believe that there was a purpose in that. Mary needed to know that information to be able to carry out what God wanted to do in her life at that particular time. We need to be alert to the Holy Spirit working within our lives. Mary recognised God's provision, I believe, for a friend at that time of her life. So God can draw us to friends at different times of our life, because God knows who is best for us at that particular time of our life. Now, I'm sure as we reflect back over the life that we've had, we can see friends that perhaps have come and gone. Perhaps you've come and gone from friends. But as a Christian, perhaps that's who God wanted you to be with at that particular time. That's who God wanted in your life, perhaps to help you work through problems, to help to be a support or share joys. But when we are in tune with God, this is the excitement that can come. God will put people into our path. So God knows who is best for us at particular times of our life. When we reflect in developing friendships under God's authority, we may need to leave our comfort zone, like Mary did, and develop a friendship where God needs us to be. Now look at Mary. The journey would have been physically difficult from Nazareth up to the hill country of Judea. And the very name of the country indicates that it was hilly. And so this journey would have been difficult for a young pregnant girl. She may have had to walk or to ride a donkey, we don't know. But she had to leave her comfort zone, didn't she? And make that journey, possibly about 3 days' journey, to the hill country of Judea to share and spend a time with her cousin Elizabeth. But I believe that she was led there by God to spend a specific time in her life to be with her cousin. I wonder what we would have done when we found out that information, when we were given specific information. How would our reaction have been? The Bible says that Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea. Do we sometimes get some information perhaps about a friend and we delay? And then we've delayed too long? There are times when we need to delay and we need to wait upon the Lord. But in this instance, Mary didn't delay. She obviously knew, she was so in tune with God that she hurried to the hill country of Judea to see her cousin. And that's exciting, isn't it? Because it's exciting for us when we are in tune with God. We don't know what lies ahead. And we all have our own comfort zones. We have areas where we feel like we can't go, or there's some barrier that prevents us from going. But we need to extend beyond that comfort zone. And Mary certainly did. Now, during this time, Elizabeth was in seclusion. 5 months seclusion, which is a long time. And now we'd be lucky to get a day in seclusion. And I think some people would be saying, come on, Donna, what about 5 minutes seclusion? But Elizabeth had 5 months of seclusion. Now, perhaps in this time of seclusion or this retreat that Elizabeth enjoyed, she might have been drawing even closer to God. And again, we read that Elizabeth was an upright and godly woman. But perhaps we always can draw nearer and closer to God. No matter how spiritual we think, how much knowledge we have, we still need to continually draw closer to God. We need time out with God. But I also believe in this period of 5 months that God was preparing her, perhaps to be a mentor to Mary when she arrived, even though Elizabeth didn't know she was coming, but perhaps God was just maturing her and giving that opportunity in preparation for what laid ahead. Also, I believe that God may have been expressing to Elizabeth that we need to have total dependence upon God. And she would have had to have total dependence upon God for 5 months seclusion. Could we survive 5 months seclusion without our friends and our family? It would be a test of our relationship with God then, wouldn't it? But God knows also how easily women do fall in dependent relationships. And so we need to be aware of that too. So I believe that God was preparing Elizabeth to be a mentor for Mary. So do we take time out ourselves to refresh our minds and our souls so we can be of benefit to our friends? I believe that Elizabeth would have most definitely been a benefit to Mary because she had time out with God. She was close to God. But do we have time out so we become refreshed ourselves? So in turn, we can then be refreshing to our friends? Don't you think that would be important in our relationship? We need to reflect Christ in our friendships. And when we are in tune with God and close to God, we then too would be reflecting Christ. Our friends deserve that. When we give God our best, our time in prayer, reading God's word, then in turn we will be refreshing to others. We need time out with God, and it probably never will be 5 months, but we do need it. Individually, we will benefit from it, our friends will benefit from it, and God will be pleased. Our light will shine for Christ, and we'll be reflecting Christ in our friendships. And so all this is happening before we've even got to the first stage of linking hands. So that Holy Spirit needs to be working within our lives so we can be of benefit to our friends once we do have that greeting stage. So next we do have that greeting stage, which is the initial stage, just that linked hands meeting together. And wasn't Mary's arrival to Elizabeth a pleasant surprise? There was a real joy in that household. Now we can surprise our friends too, perhaps a telephone call or a card or... But I believe the most important thing is that it needs to be sincere. We can do a lot of calling around and cards and so on, but if it's of the flesh, it's not going to be blessed. So we need to just examine why we want to make that phone call, why we want to send that card out. Will it be of benefit to our friends? Are we reflecting Christ? But Mary and Elizabeth put God in first in their individual lives, but also in their friendship. Because Mary, remember, she came through that door, but nothing really was said. Mary didn't immediately break out to say that she was pregnant. But the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth, and she was then aware that Mary was carrying God's son. Isn't that exciting? And how often do we find ourselves when we are close with our friends and we know our friends, when we give them a call on the phone or we see them, we almost instantly know whether they had a bad day, had a good day. And when we're in tune with God, we can discern these things within our friends. And this is, I believe, what happened here with Elizabeth and Mary. The Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth and she was made aware of Mary's situation. Do we, as Mary and Elizabeth, share the Lord, praise the Lord, enjoy listening to our friends sharing what the Lord has done in their lives? This is exactly what Mary and Elizabeth did. Immediately, they shared the things of the Lord. They were praising God. And I just wonder whether we do that very often when we come in our company of our friends. Can we genuinely show excitement and joy for our friends' blessings sent from God? Elizabeth was, there was absolutely no jealousy at all from Elizabeth knowing that Mary was carrying God's son. No jealousy. Because it was evident in her conversation, why am I so blessed that the mother of the Lord has come to visit me? There was no jealousy. And sometimes does this hinder us from expressing our joy and excitement for our friends' blessings that the Lord has given them? Or is there jealousy there? There was no jealousy with Elizabeth and Mary. Mary then broke out in song. Now, I'm not saying that we break out in song every time we greet our friends, and I most certainly wouldn't. But I can guarantee that I wouldn't have any friends, so I'll just keep talking. But Mary did break out in song, and again, it was a praise song to God for what he had done in her life. But I believe that we need to review our conversation content with our friends. We can lead by example in our conversation with our friends. Do we ask our friends to pray for us? Or are we too proud? Do we ask our friends, is there something that I can pray about for you? Or don't you want to get involved? Mary and Elizabeth, both women, belonged to God, and their friendship did, and so did their conversation. We need to lead by example in our conversation. Then we come over to the commitment side of the friendship, which is the linked hands. And we read that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And I believe in this period, this is when Elizabeth took on the mentoring role. And in Proverbs 27 and 17, we read that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to our friends. You see, if no one ever reflects to you how you come across, never challenges you, never confronts you, never encourages you to talk out your problems, then parts of you will remain undiscovered. Others can do that, of course, but they're not your friends. And it's best done by your friend. There's a saying that a friend is someone who knows all there is to know about you and loves you just the same. Best friends have a responsibility. Why do we call them best friends? In conversation, we often refer to it as my best friend or she's my best friend. Do we bring out the best in our friend? Do you know her the best? Do you give her your best? Do you have her best interests at heart? And as Rosemary also added, do we praise our best friend? There's the caution. So before you call someone your best friend, ask yourself those questions. So in these months that Mary and Elizabeth spent together, I believe that Elizabeth would have shared and sharpened Mary as iron sharpens iron. She would have sharpened her for what laid ahead. Her pregnancy, her ongoing pregnancy, the birth of the Lord Jesus, and her marriage. Elizabeth and Zechariah had been married for many years. And although in the household Zechariah was unable to speak until the birth of his son, after his birth of his son, I believe that Mary would have witnessed a beautiful, godly marriage while she was there. And we need to ask ourselves, what do our friends witness in our home? When we're out on the tennis court, what do our friends witness? Do they see Christ being reflected in us? Elizabeth would have come alongside Mary while they were washing up or getting the food ready and just had wholesome discussions about marriages. And I'm sure there was wonderful times and experiences that they could have shared together. Friendships aren't limited to people of our own age, nor are here their cousins. So it doesn't necessarily have to be someone you're not related to. The older women certainly can and should be offering advice and guidance, not only spiritual, but also life experiences. They're the ones that have gone on before us. So do you think that they've got a bit of responsibility to let some of the younger ones know? We shouldn't underestimate their helpful knowledge in the area of life and spiritual experiences. And perhaps in this period, while Mary was staying with Elizabeth, Elizabeth may have even had to correct her or point her in a different direction that she was going. And in friendships, we need to be prepared to be vulnerable. That is, to be hurt. No relationship is free from pain this side of eternity, so don't expect it. We would be wise to expect close friends to occasionally fail us as we fail them. We are sinners, saved by grace, and despite the best of our intentions, we will let each other down. Genuine friends are like roses, breathtakingly lovely and worth the pain of an occasional surprising jab. Now, when we just think of the rose in its beauty, and if you do have, you pick roses or even when you're displaying them, and they do prick you, what do? We generally just keep cutting some more and we put them in a vase. Do we ever get pricked with a rose and then just drop it, turn and walk away and leave it on the ground? We don't. It's too beautiful to leave on the ground. And that's occasionally what we do to our friends. The moment we're pricked, jabbed, and a little bit of hurt has come in, we drop them, we turn our back and walk away. We don't do it to roses. Why do we do it sometimes to our friends? Sometimes the most difficult time to love a friend is when they have hurt us. Our carnal nature would desire to inflict pain, not show love and kindness. Yet when we do forgive and forget and continue to love, isn't that when we're most like Christ? We need to reflect Christ in our friendships. Another scripture in Proverbs is helpful to remain committed to our friends in Proverbs 27 and 6 is wounds from a friend can be trusted. Love your friends enough to confront her about anything you feel that is not right. One of the greatest tests to a friendship is to ask yourself, am I prepared to lose this friendship over truth and righteousness? For if you're not, perhaps it's not what God wants. You're in it for your own reasons and not for God's. That's what friends are for, to help us see what we might otherwise be missing. I can trust my friend. Can you trust the wounds from your friend? I know the initial hurt is awkward, but I trust her enough to know she has my best interests at heart. Now back to Mary and Elizabeth. What a commitment that was for Elizabeth to take on Mary for 3 months. Now we may never have that opportunity, but there definitely was a genuine commitment. By being a friend, a commitment is needed. Your time, your emotions, your time and commitment in prayer. Remember, commitments aren't always convenient, but God expects us to keep the commitment to our friends. When we do, we benefit, our friends benefit, and that God is pleased. But I believe with Elizabeth and Mary, their commitment over these months was just a sheer joy. And they both would have benefited from growing and drawing closer to God. God made us for friendships, and I believe that it would be in His will and purpose that we cultivate a circle of friends. Cultivate a circle of friends. Nurture, work at a circle of friends. Friendship isn't about the rewards that it will bring you, but it's about the blessings that you can be to others. And remember, God will draw you to friends, and then friends will be drawn to you. But most importantly, friends may be drawn to God through you. And then finally, we have the releasing of that link, the farewell stage. On Mary's leaving Elizabeth back to Nazareth, I'm sure there was sadness with her departure. But Elizabeth would have experienced great joy and satisfaction in her heart because she was confident she was sending her friend back, prepared, spiritually prepared, emotionally prepared for what laid ahead of her. Are we confident when we say goodbye to our friends, whether it's just the weekly goodbye or whether it's for a longer period? Are we confident that we have said and done all that we need to do for that friend? Was there a misunderstanding in the conversation? How often do we hang up the phone or we say goodbye and we say to ourselves, what did they mean by that? Well, next time ask them before you say goodbye to them. I'm sure in most cases it's just a misunderstanding. Because what can happen is a simple misunderstanding, an unwanted wedge can come into that friendship. And then the farewell is a permanent one. And just as Rosemary said, there's a blockage. And then next time you meet, that blockage just blocks up a little bit more. It's not free-flowing. The beauty of friendship, the times that you share together, the blessings that you can share together with friends, the sorrows, the joys, that's all part of friendship. And when we need to reflect Christ in our friendship. The comfort of having a friend may be taken away, but not having had one. In other words, our friend might be taken away, but not ever having had that friend. The beautiful times that you shared together. And that's the farewell stage sometimes of our friendship. The comfort of having a friend may be taken away, but not having had one. So there's our friendship. We had the linking of the hands, which is our greeting, the commitment, which is the linked hands, and then the releasing of the link, and that's the farewell stage. When we farewell our friend, we need to ask ourselves one important question. Did my friend see Jesus in me? As we close, I'd like to read a poem that complements what we have shared this morning. And I'd like you just to meditate upon the words. Framed in light, Mary sings through the doorway. Elizabeth's 6 months joy jumps, a palpable greeting, a hidden first encounter between sun and sun, and my heart turns over when I met Jesus in you.